Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct to my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how you doing?
Oh, well, I don't think we have any more turkey left.
Oh, you finally got rid of it all, huh?
Well, a few days ago, and you're not supposed to keep it that long.
Absolutely. But you had a good break and everything?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Hey.
And we have with us, calling in, Mr. Mike Denslow with Home Street, coming in the intro here via phone. Mike, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm still maybe a little turkey hangover, but I'm good.
And we were just chatting about that for sure. We're still dealing with some of the holiday scheduling and parties and everything else.
So, tryptophan.
Yes, I know what you mean, but definitely good to get back on a routine here before we hit the next major holiday, however many shopping days we have left till Christmas.
Ugh, yes.
So we always like to start off the show with our crazy national celebrity real estate story. And this week's is seeing that Tom Clancy passed away in 2013, but his estate had held on to his enormous waterfront property in Huntington, Maryland. And this was on the market for $6.2 million.
Wow.
But it was a 536 acre property that used to be a summer camp for kids. And it actually has a mile of frontage on the Chesapeake Bay.
Wow.
So incredible property, built in 1989, 17,000 square feet, 7 bedrooms, 6 bathrooms, and just absolutely incredible. So it had a subterranean gun range. So
I was wondering if it came with all the goodies like in his novels.
Tom Clancy, there we go. Tennis courts, sports fields,
bunkers,
basketball courts, and several guest houses. So for one of America's most prolific novelists, you could too own a piece of that history. For sale right now, listed on realtor.com. And I got to tell you, in pure writer's fashion, it also included a built-in petrified wood desk that he had commissioned in the property.
Wow.
And the library, yes, books and rows and rows and rows of bookshelves. Might be a little outdated in the day of digital media, but definitely for sale there now. Number two, one of the things we like to do is we always like to temper the national story with a local story.
Reality.
But today, in today's real estate show, is a little bit different because that local news story is actually then also a national story. Pretty crazy. When you are flipping through USA Today, and I wanted to bring this up as today's topic because I'm sure a lot of people either saw a link to this article or might have seen the headline themselves, but pretty crazy when you're going through the money section, reading the newspaper on my iPad national site, and I always like to stay up with those trends, get material for the radio show, and what pops up, the 4 metro markets most susceptible to a bust or a bubble in today's housing market. I was like, oh, well, that'll be interesting to kind of see who's on the list. And so as I open up the article, number 4, Greeley, Colorado, I scroll down on my iPad, number 3, Kennewick, Richland, Washington. And so you're like, oh, wow, okay, that's not exactly where you were expecting or wanting to see the article. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about that because we've already had some people call in and say, hey, what's your opinion on this crazy that we saw this national story and here's Kennewick Richland in that story. And so I thought I'd dig into a little bit for, because when you read a sensationalized headline like that, you got to kind of dig into the details and say, okay, number one, you know, there's, how did we end up on that list? And number two, there's a lot of people that we deal with on a day-to-day basis in the housing market that ask us this exact same question. And it's kind of like the frog in a boiling pot of water. You know, if you throw a frog, it'll jump right out. But if the heat is slowly getting turned up, frog will never jump out, you know, and end up, you know, dying from the boiling water. Well, it's interesting for a lot of people that maybe listen to the show that are in our market. It's really easy to not look at the national statistics and see what has actually happened here and how we got ourselves put onto one of those lists. So, you know, there's a lot of people now that look and say, gosh, okay, the last big crisis that we had, you know, 2008, 2009, real estate is a matter of cycles. Here now we've gone through what's likely probably another big cycle, and it's been about 10 years. And so people start to naturally look at the data and start to ask questions on what's going on. So the last time that this happened, the housing market bust, it actually dropped American home values 37%. So prior to the recession, we hit a high of $230,000 across the entire United States. And then that dropped to a post-recession low of $145,000 in 2011. So one of the things you do is you look now, okay, what's happened from the last recession till now? Well, for a reference point, before they established this list, as reported by 24/7 Wall Street and then re-reported and ran in USA Today, for a reference point, the typical American home now, today, is worth 11.3% more than the pre-recession peak. So if we look back over those last 10 years, we go to the pre-recession and we take the whole United States. We might have lost Mike Denslow.
Yes, there, we'll have to ring him back.
But that happens. We take the whole United States and we look and we say, okay, from the last time that this happened, we've had prices, they've rebounded nationally 11.3%. Okay, so now we go and we look at a market in Kennewick, and we see that market in Kennewick and the pre-recession peak price today versus the pre-recession, we are 80.6% higher.
Wow.
And so that's how you end up landing on a list like this. When you look at nationally, where we've had 11.3% appreciation from pre-recession highs, but Tri-Cities has had 80%. Those are the type of numbers that land you on a list like this. 10-year population growth driving that, and even notated in the article, though, is our population, we've grown by 26% in that same
two-week trial period. Today at emails.com.
Wow. And so that's a huge thing that has contributed to those factors also. So the thing that we're looking at is, how long is this sustainable? So a lot of people come into the market and they ask us the question, gosh, is now a really good time to buy? And so, you know, for a while we've been able to hit those benchmarks. We've been seeing massive increases. If somebody was asking me that 3-4 years ago, it was always absolutely. We've seen some of the best appreciation we've ever seen. We are also still looking at another year of great appreciation here in the Tri-Cities. One of the things that we have had is we've had a lower availability of new homes for buyers, and we've had a massive increase in the population. Now, those two factors have caused prices to rapidly increase. Will we continue at these rates? I think it's foolish not to acknowledge the data like this and say we're probably not going to continue appreciating at, you know, 9, 10% a year when the rest of the nation is, you know, 1 to 2%. But you can look and say, is there an argument that we're still going to cut that in half and then appreciate 5 or 6% the next 3 to 4 years? No one knows for sure, but I think with our inventory, with the continued population growth that's coming to the area, it's still, those would still be fantastic appreciation rates. So I definitely think that you could still, there could still be a good argument made for there's still room left in this market. One of the differences too is that our median home price was very, very low prior to the recession, $139,000, and now $253,000. If you look at the other three markets that were on this list in the top four, Greeley, Colorado, they went from $185,000 to $327,000.
Wow.
Which is an insane increase. Houston, $124,000 to $231,000. And then Dallas, Fort Worth, the other market, $140,000 to $261,000.
Wow.
So very similar, but the Greeley, Colorado one scares me the most because they're now at 327. Well, it's a very different buyer that's buying at 327 than is buying at 250. So I feel like we're still in a spot where people can, there's still some affordability left in the, in those houses.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, it's really, really interesting to look at that data and say, and it's easy to get caught up with, man, things have been great in Tri-Cities, or things seem like they've been good, right? Well, the problem is good doesn't quite explain it. It's not good. It's just we've been in the top four of the entire country for appreciation rates. So, in fact, as soon as I saw this article, I called a couple of my colleagues in Houston, and I said, you know, what are you guys seeing down there in Houston? You know, you're on this list also. Let's talk about what's going on in the markets. And one of the things that they said is that right now is we still have the demand. Both of our areas, you know, between Houston and Tri-Cities, is we still have a large number of people moving into the area.
Growth.
We're coming up on our first break, there's a lot of information to cover, but really interesting is we're going to talk a little bit about another major headline. Tri-City Herald was talking about Pasco approving its budget, and some of the budget items in the city of Pasco that will help us meet these growth expectations.
Ooh, so make sure you stick around right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been diving into Tri-Cities metro areas in some national headlines, and not for the headlines we generally like to see.
No.
Talking about the amount of appreciation we've had the last couple of years, what that looks like, kind of popped up on the radar of identifying some markets that they feel may or may not be in a bubble. So we kind of went through, what do those stats look like? What do we see happening?
What do they really mean?
And what that really means, and how that's driving growth. And when it comes right down to it, when you have a large amount of population shift to an area, I mean, pretty simple supply and demand. And that has driven those prices up faster than the national average have been appreciating. One of the things we like to look at, though, and do is we always get an expert on here to talk about things. And how does this relate to the lending world? So we've got on the phone with us Mike Denslow at Home Street. And Mike, increased prices, what happens over on your side of the table over there?
Well, I think as you see it as well, you see more people going for the same house. And the more prepared you are, you know, local lender, and I know you can speak to it, I might sound biased, but getting with a local lender so that that listing agent knows, hey, who are we dealing with, rather than an 800 number, anonymous person on the other line. They might say they're pre-approved to a certain number, but are they really?
Absolutely.
Getting in with clients sooner rather than later, having them understand the numbers, have us, you know, looking at all of their pay stubs and W-2s and bank statements and all those things in advance, you're ahead of the game versus other offers. And when you're competing, then, you know, the best offer is going to win, not necessarily the highest price. And you've seen that too, Lance, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen, you know, sellers a lot of times want that sure thing or that comfortability. And the stronger candidate, sometimes at a lower price, will end up with the property.
Well, it's familiarity, right? So if you get an offer and you look at it, it's an 800 number lender that you can never get on the phone. Or, you know, just to call and say, hey, have you reviewed all their documentation? You can actually get a human being to do that versus a local bank with a local reputation. I know that goes a long way. And it might sound, you know, self-serving for us at Home Street, but it's a reason why, you know, we do more loans than anybody else in town. So when you say, you know, what are we seeing? We're seeing people pushing in the, and whereas I would say years before, not as much of a push for having a local lender be the one selected in a multiple offer situation, where the last couple of years I've seen it more and more, because more lenders, I'd say online lenders, are trying to do the lending, say, you know, lending in a box kind of idea. And it's just, it's not that way. It's laughable that you can think that, a lending institution is just a, you know, a commodity, and anyone can do it. Like, it's just not that way.
Absolutely, there's a lot of intricacies to that process, and you know, and I even know, I mean, just in the last couple of weeks, I can think of a number of clients we were working on deals with, and where we really had to have some collaboration, to where we were like, hey, Mike, this house didn't work for our client, but we're looking at this house and it's listed a little bit higher, but we're going to try to get the rate down to an amazing deal for them. And they need to push a little bit. And you're like, I got to meet with them again. And they get back in and they're like, okay, if you can negotiate to X, we can do this deal. And then we go back to the seller and, you know, vice versa. And, you know, we go back three or four times. And if we couldn't get somebody on the phone, make those adjustments, you know, come up with those different game plans, I can think of two deals in the last 3 weeks that just wouldn't have gone together.
Yeah, absolutely. It goes back to, I've always wanted to do a commercial where someone says, would you have your relative get surgery on the lowest bid?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
We're going to go with the wooden teeth instead of polymers.
Absolutely.
When you go to the dentist.
Absolutely. So that definitely, you know, that's a big factor that comes into play. And, you know, as we were kind of talking about our topic today, I mean, Mike, you and I know, I mean, when we look at the median home price increasing at that rate, it probably, you have to pay attention a little closer for first time home buyers, because, you know, now the first time home buying price range is above 200, or you're looking at our averages. I imagine that makes your job a little more difficult in certain situations.
Well, it gets trickier for clients who have lesser income, who don't have a big down payment, and there's only so much they can afford. And then you and I know, when you start talking about lower price ranges, those are getting picked over a lot quicker. It used to be there was a decent market of homes for under 200,000. Now, you know, it's pretty few and far between. They do come up, but
absolutely, and we do want our first-time home buyers and clients to have access to that market. So with that, Mike is out of here. Whether it's technical difficulties or cell phone on that last line, he is out of here for sure.
Well, I think he's probably back right now. I think the Gremlins are having a little bit of fun today.
Hey,
right?
we got to have one show where we get cut,
right
cut
back
off there.
Speed dial.
I love it. This is the last time he can leave the studio, McKay. We need to chain him to it.
Yes.
Well, sounds good, Mike. Well, I appreciate that update, and we appreciate, I know we talked a couple times over the holiday, and you were answering your phone and taking care of things for our clients, so appreciate that greatly. And yeah, I did want to dive into, we talked a little bit before about growth, and so even you saw in this last week, Tri-City Herald wrote an article talking about Pasco's budget, $450 million budget they were looking at, and they're like, where does some of that money go? Mm-hmm. Well, it's really interesting when you read through those lists, and I loved what they said. They actually said in the article in the Tri-City Herald said, it's not sexy, but the sewer extension will transform Pasco's west side in coming years. McKay, I disagree. I think it's extremely sexy.
Well, because it's going to properly take, it's going to take what needs to be taken away and send it where it needs to go.
Absolutely. So it went on to talk about what's going on over there, and it's a $3.8 million Harris Road sewer line, and that's going to serve kind of what's known as, you know, the Broadmoor Boulevard Road 100 area. I mean, mm-hmm. some of us that have grown up here and lived here our entire lives know it as the Road 100 sand dunes out there. Mm-hmm. And so they are going to move forward with that project. They've spent about $1 million on planning and design, and they're expecting construction in 2019 next year. So,
wow.
So that's a big project that is going to give us years of growth. Over the next two decades, Pasco itself was looking at adding an additional population estimates are an additional 56,000 people over the next 20 years.
Wow.
And so this is one of the main, you know, one of the main lifelines to get out to that area and start fueling residential, commercial growth, and Pasco's expansion. So from a real estate perspective, absolutely love seeing them lay the groundwork for the for those type of projects. We do have some new inventory. People always say houses, gosh, does anything happen or sell over the holidays? Well, we had a number of deals go pending over the last Thanksgiving holiday weekend, and we've also put on some new inventory. So pick number one here, I've got 6555 West 33rd Place in Kennewick. This is a great Southridge location, 5-bedroom, 4-bath home on a large corner lot, almost 2,400 square feet, spacious floor plan. You got the great room concept. You've got LVP, that's that luxury vinyl plank flooring, large kitchen with an island, breakfast bar, main level bedroom, makes a great second master suite or guest suite, and then you've got a large upper level master suite with a walk-in closet, full length covered patio, custom curbing, dialed in oversized 3-car garage with RV parking. $359.9 So that's just a big, awesome home where you're getting a lot of square footage, a lot of the modern updates at $359.9 Pick number two, 419 Zillow. We talked about finding things in this price range that was difficult. 4-bedroom, 2-bath. That's Rambler with a basement on a corner lot in a great Kennewick neighborhood. 2,341 square feet. Everything's on the main level for this home. You got a split bedroom layout, all appliances stay, oversized kitchen with lots of cabinet space, large dining room. You got unfinished basement, which has a workshop area, storage room, lots of ideas to finish out this basement. Fully fenced corner lot, and that's coming in at $219.9 So to find 4-bedroom, 2-bath, plus expansion square footage at $219.9 that's a great property. And then pick number three, 1806 Sequoia in Richland. This is an incredible custom-built 5-bedroom, 3-bath home that's on just about a half-acre lot in South Richland. just over 3,000 square feet, super well-maintained home. It has bamboo floors on the main level, gas fireplace, tons of storage, large kitchen, which also features a bamboo island, eating bar, granite counters, full tile backsplash, main level master that has dual sink vanity and radiant floor heating.
Ooh.
So you get those warm toes when you wake up in the middle
of the
night.
You just turn
the
dial on the wall and the heat comes up through the floor.
Absolutely fantastic. Guest room on the main. I mean, this house is completely dialed, and then it also has geothermal HVAC. So, I mean, this on top of everything else has a very small carbon footprint. That's coming in at $465,000 for that South Richland location.
Wow.
A lot of great inventory out there on the market. So we just wanted to get some information out there. You know, Chicken Little, the sky is maybe not falling. The market, things are still selling. Mm-hmm. And we've, you know, this market still has there's a lot of great properties that are getting listed, getting sold, and still high demand with lower inventory.
Exactly.
If you have any questions at all about maybe potentially looking to purchase in 2019 or getting your house ready to be on the market the first of the year, go to kenmoreteam.com and shoot us a message. We'd be glad to help you out.
Absolutely. And we will be right back here next week on News Talk 870.